Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Now, most of us of a generation, and most of us today, because it's a change that's coming apparently, remember in school it was the letters were Colleeni agus Buachalla, and they were completely and totally absolutely separate. But a number of people have been in touch with us to point out that the going forward, as they say, in the bureaucracy, things are going to change and change dramatically. Now, is it for the good or are there lots of negatives? From now on, there will be no urinals, boys' urinals in schools. There will be sets of cubicles which can be designated by the school. Now, designated by the school as unisex or for one gender. Alicia E.A. de Bruin. Alicia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks a million for having me on.
Okay. Explain to us what your understanding of this proposal and why you object to it strenuously.
Well, firstly, I'd like to say that I am the founder of a grassroots human rights group called The Countess Didn't Fight For This. And we are advocating for women and children in Ireland today. We see this as a further evidence of a wider trend in society where single-sex provision is being eroded at the behest of so-called inclusivity. My understanding of these guidelines is that they are instructive. It says in black and white in the actual guide that all further construction should be done in accordance with this. Now, I understand that the department are saying today that it's not obligatory, but when you actually read the small print, it does certainly appear that there's been a lot of thought put into this, years of consultation, they say, and this will be going ahead in all mixed-sex schools across the country and indeed retrospectively as well, because all repairs on toilets that are already there that are single-sex will be switched to mixed-sex. And I think language is very important here. The word gender-neutral sounds kind of fairly harmless, but what we're talking about is mixed-sex toilets, the end of single-sex provision. And that is a very radical move. It's a very radical shift in basic safeguarding that we all believed was just normative and necessary up until a few short years ago.
Now, I'm just reading some of the small print, and you're right, in the department document. For example, in accordance with Universal Access Guidelines, urinal bowls, troughs are no longer required in schools and must not be specified. So it's the end of the boys' urinals, that's gone. And every toilet or toilet unit in a unisex school is accessible to both sexes. And I know there's other gender issues as well involved, which I'm sure we'll get to. So what is your understanding of the architecture of it, Leisha? I will walk into a toilet, a unisex toilet. There will be a common area. And then...
To me, actually, when I first viewed it, I was so horrified. It reminded me of sort of a nightclub toilet almost. It was just unbelievable. Me, I'm an adult woman, and I would not want to use those toilets. So on one side, you've got a full bank of stalls, and they're in pink on the plans, and they're presumably the girls' toilets. And on the other side are blue, and they're presumably the boys' toilets. But in between is a huge bank of sinks. It's totally communal, and that's the whole space is shared, essentially. So we have essentially moved from single-sex provision to a mixed-sex toilet for boys and girls. If you think about it, a 12-year-old girl will be using the same toilet as an 18-year-old boy. If you can imagine being a 12 or 13-year-old girl, you've just started to get your period, you're not used to using sanitary towels, your stomach is cramping. You have to navigate all of those stresses now in a mixed-sex environment. That is not fair. And I don't think this is good for, this is what boys want either. I mean, who was consulted? Like parents across the country and indeed just people across the country have joined our popular campaign. They're not happy. You know, the data from the UK is very clear. This has been rolled out in schools in the UK and parents have launched petitions. Likewise, in the UK, they weren't consulted. I mean, all of this has been rolled out and it's seemingly progressive, but it's not. If something erodes the rights and freedoms and protections under law of, you know, women and children, then it's that cannot, by definition, that's not progressive.
Well, just is it your understanding from the departmental documentation that when you walk into this, there's a communal area between two sets of stalls, two sets of cubicles, and will one side be designated for females and the other side designated for male, or will is it completely mixed? In other words, could you have a stall where a boy is next door to a girl, so to speak?
So, yeah, well, the stalls are... I mean, as I said, it's in a very kind of rudimentary way, just put one of them pink and one of them blue on the plans. So presumably that's the boys and the girls. But the sinks are in the middle and you can walk all around the sink.
So all
the space is shared. So it's no longer single sex provision. I mean, once you go in that, once you come out of the corridor and into that space, you are in a mixed sex area. Regardless of where
while you're washing your hands or whatever,
or
fixing yourself, as I say, or combing your hair, or
Or even when but also when you're in the actual cubicle, you know, so many people have got in touch with us to say, "Gosh, even you know, in a single sex school, I would be very nervous. I remember being a teenage girl, and I was very nervous around the time of my period. I mean." This is not a progressive move on the part of the Department of Education. It's a retrograde move, and it has an impact on child safeguarding and just the privacy, the dignity, and the safety of school children.
Well, a couple of things about you, Ryan. It's one, in terms of the use of water, they're much less. They use much less water than individual stalls. And two, they take up much less space in terms of infrastructure and cost or whatever. But that's cubicles take up much more room, and that's why people go to any venue, the queue at the interval or whatever, or before or after, for women is usually disgraceful because there's so few cubicles provided. Where there's no queue, invariably for men, because they're all lined up beside a urinal.
There are many issues with this that seem to be kind of spurious. They don't make sense. I totally agree with you, and I'd also add to that this idea that it somehow stops bullying. I mean, that makes no sense to me. The Department of Education's own stats, their own figures, they did a survey in 2018 that showed that one in three Irish schoolgirls is a victim of sexual harassment and sexual bullying during their school day. Now, is that kind of bullying going to decrease if they have to use the loo in a mixed space? I doubt it. I'd say it will increase.
And by the way, the name of your group again is?
The Countess didn't fight for this. We are a grassroots.
What's that got to do? This Countess Markovic?
Yeah, Countess Markovic is our figurehead and our inspiration.
Yeah, but this.
So we are here to uphold the rights of women and children in Ireland, which we see as being eroded at the behest of so-called inclusivity. And now, really, Irish people are feeling the impact of all of this raft of changes, of laws, of legislation, and of ideological practices and policies. And now we're seeing them in our schools. And I mean, already today, parents are saying, I would not send my child to a school that brought in these mixed sex toilets.
Okay. I know there's a long life afterwards, Countess Markovic, but just the week that's in it, the 105th anniversary this weekend of the Easter Rising, you know, she shot dead an unarmed Irishman in the Easter Rising. She went up and shot Constable Lahiff in the head.
Yes, no, I'm aware of that.
Well, that's taking bullying now to an extreme, isn't it, for an anti-bullying campaign?
I won't go down that imperfect heroine, like lots of heroes and heroines, she's an imperfect one, but equally I think it's true to say that she's well-loved and seen as a sort of icon of resistance and a vision of a fairer, more equal society, and that's why we have taken her on as our inspiration.
That's fine. Lynn Tracy, Lynn, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You're listening to Leisha. What do you think this initiative by the department? No more urinals in schools, no more Bukele agus Colleen. Each unit will be available to both, and they will be comprised of equal sized stalls, obviously, apart from the wheelchair accessible one. And then there will be a common sink area when you emerge from the cubicle. What do you think of it, Lynn?
I didn't hear everything that Leisha had to say because I was just somewhere else. But I've looked at what the suggestion is from the department, and in theory, I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. If I had my brothers, I would do it slightly differently, in that I would have a selection of three types of toilets. A male toilet, a female toilet, and a gender neutral toilet.
Okay.
And then that would solve all of those issues. But the importance of gender neutral toilets cannot be overstated.
Okay. Why?
I have a transgender daughter.
Okay.
And she would have been extremely uncomfortable going into a male bathroom.
Yeah.
And in fact, she came out when she was 16. She was in transition year.
Okay.
She was in an all-boys school. The school offered, without even being prompted, to create a bathroom for her.
Okay.
But she decided to move to a mixed school. And when she did, she was automatically provided with a gender-neutral bathroom. And that made everybody comfortable.
Okay.
And other people may want to use a gender-neutral bathroom for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about gender neutrality. It's about, you know, going back to when I was in school, I would have loved to be able to go to a bathroom where nobody else was. So I do think there's a real opportunity for change.
Yeah, but you will be going into a room where there'll be cubicles, stalls, and then a central hand-washing area, presumably with mirrors in the centre. And there could be a boy in one, gender person, or young person in the other, a girl in the next. Is there privacy issues, Lynn, even in terms of proximity and...
Necessarily, I mean, looking at what they're saying in the Irish Times there today, it looks like the sink area will be visible from the corridor, which will just take away any potential for bullying. And the stalls will be completely private. I just don't see what the issue is.
Could I just come in there, if you don't mind?
Leisha,
So, I would just say that I think we're slightly speaking across purposes, insofar as I would absolutely fully support gender-neutral facilities, and particularly for trans-identified young people. And it sounds like... I'm sorry, I didn't catch that woman's name.
That's Lynn. Lynn.
Lynn. It sounds like Lynn's child did get that in the second school that they went to, and that's great, and they should have that. But that just proves my point that it is possible to do that without eradicating single-sex provision for all the other children. This is a disproportionate move on the part of the Department of Education. It's not necessary. It is perfectly plausible to have a single gender-neutral space, a third space, for the young people who are trans-identified.
But these
plans do are wipe out, eradicate single-sex provision in schools for everyone else. So all of these things have to be looked at in the round. I think it's really important to look at them holistically in the round and look at the impact on everyone else. I would like to see whether or not the Department of Education did a risk assessment or an impact assessment on how this is impacting.
And what are the risks?
Well, according to WHO, the UN, UNESCO, and ActionAid, girls who don't have single-sex provision in terms of toilets at school, they all campaign for single-sex schools, for schoolgirls, and because it's the basic requirement in order to be able to participate fully in school, in education.
Single-sex toilets.
So basically, it impacts so badly on the girls' ability to access education that it's a huge, huge campaign in the global set. And the reason is that all the data says the same thing, that girls are at a risk of UTI because they retain water all day, or they will have dehydration because they won't drink water because they want to avoid using mixed-sex toilets at all costs. And even more egregiously, once a month they will skip school because they have their period and they don't want to use, they don't want to deal with it in mixed-sex toilets. And closer to home in the UK, where these exact same plans have been put in place, all of the data shows that schoolgirls in the UK have dealt with this in the same way, that they've skipped school at the time of their period and they have... not used, they just avoided using the toilets altogether, and that is too high a price.
And you would see, would you also see, Leisha, that in a say a second level school, obviously you're age between 12, 17, 18, you could have a 12-year-old girl in the same toilet area, obviously in a different cubicle, as an 18-year-old boy, man.
Yes, and I think a few short years ago, everyone would have just thought that was completely unacceptable. And, you know, like the teenage young adolescents today are coming up to a different world than we did. You know, it is completely, it's saturated with social media. And unfortunately, there's access to porn. Their peers, their cohorts are watching porn. They live in a much different world, the world we live in. And so who are we to take that refuge from them, those single-sex toilets from them? Because it is a refuge. I fully support all accommodation of gender non-conforming or trans-identified young people, but it cannot come at the... should not mean eradicating single-sex provision for everyone.
Lynn, you mentioned that your trans daughter, who's now 21, but that when she moved to a different school, there was a toilet designated for her. Is that it? There was a gender-neutral toilet. Was that signposted?
Well, they created it for her.
Would that not lead to... possibly lead to in a school environment with groups of young people? Does that not identify or stigmatise, probably, is a word I'm looking for? Why are you using the gender-neutral toilet? Your own business, of course.
She was overtly trans. She came out as trans. Her peers knew she was trans. And I just want to...
Okay, there was no issue. Okay.
No. The boys' school she was in were offered to provide a bathroom for her. I mean, I just asked them. They were completely supportive of her and would have completely supported her staying in the school. And she, in fact, went to the depths for that school. But... my experience, and I can only speak for myself, and I can only speak for my daughter Alice, is that her peers just accepted it.
Yeah,
they had no problem. When she was leaving the boys' school, a pal of mine told her son, and her son was, "Why is she leaving this school?" Like, it was nothing, you know. There was no shock around her gender identity, and I do think that. Our young people need to be trusted, and it's about education, it's about facilitation. If schools work and show children about showing each other respect, then this can work.
Okay. Let me bring in Kevin O'Rourke, joe at rte.ie, 51551, wash your hands, so to speak. Kevin O'Rourke, Kevin, you're this, well, it's not a proposal, it is. If you read the small print, as Leisha says, the department says, and there shall be no more urinals in newly built schools, and if schools are being retrofitted, they should be removed, and it should be all stalls that can be used, can have the option of being used by anybody, or else the school can designate. But again, you're into distance, and designate one set of cubicles for girls and one set of cubicles for boys, which could present logistical problems in terms of changing classrooms. But Kevin, your point, please. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I personally, I don't see the problem with it. What I would say is that if one goes to the work site, whether it be a builder or whatever, or go to a gig, all of the portaloos are unisex. And it's bizarre because only a few weeks ago you spoke about the topic of a lack of toilets, toilet facilities in the city centre.
Yeah.
And there was a lady on the phone saying that they had to queue back to Dawson Street from where the portaloos
right.
are. And they were all unisex. So, I mean, if it's properly run, I don't
Well,
see
hang
the problem.
On, no, no, in fairness, the yeah. queue, because I saw it at the weekend, the queue. I was driving through town to a nursing home as it happened, but that's neither here nor there. Just so people say, what was it doing in the city centre? And I deliberately drive through town to see what it used to be like. And there was a queue at those toilets. If you're referring to the toilets opposite Stephen's Green, there was a queue
yeah.
of women on one side, stretching again nearly to Dawson Street. And it, by the way, not the same length, but a very long queue of men on the other side. So they're obviously separated. I haven't used them. Obviously, there's
well,
a
Well, I haven't used the meter now. I'm only.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we can find out.
You had with the lady,
yeah,
and
okay.
I understood.
But well, she couldn't. She couldn't get. Well, obviously, the women's loo is cubicles, but I presume there's urinals for the men in terms of speed and efficiency. But anyway.
Well,
so you say
I've never used the portaloo with a urinal. They normally have
a big gig should get it, and anyway,
you know.
Okay, you're saying your point, Alicia, is restaurants, nightclubs,
but
work
there is a restaurant in O'Connell Street that's unisex.
Yeah,
and you can go in and men and women mix. Now, obviously, not in the same cubicles, but
no,
when
no,
they come
no.
out, they wash their hands, they brush their hair, do whatever, and out they go out the door. There isn't a problem.
And
I think we're making an absolute drama out of nothing.
Well, that's not fair now to other people, and given the tone of what you said, which is very very respectful, I don't know if it's making something out of nothing a sequential
said.
Well,
what I mean
so
is that we're dealing with a secondary school, and we're dealing with young modern children. I admire that lady's daughter.
Lynn and Alice,
Absolutely admire that completely, 100%. And if she wishes to use a general neuter toilet, absolutely.
Okay.
No problem with any of that at all. But I also do not have a problem with if there's lunchtime, it can be very busy. Maybe it's just the one toilet facility that's there and you go in. And I don't believe that secondary school children would behave in a manner that would be any different outside of school. They think they would go in and they would behave and they would come out and they would respect each other and go off about their business. I'd actually be more worried about them outside of school than inside of school.
Mm. Leisha, would you use, if you went to that restaurant, if it ever opens again, if you went to that restaurant that Kevin refers to in Dublin City Centre, which has a unisex system. I know the church in Mary Street, which is a wonderful, wonderful pub, gastro pub, in an incredibly well-preserved building. They have unisex toilets. But if you went to one of those places, Leisha, the church, as it's called, or the restaurant, would you not go into a facility, a hospitality venue, that had unisex toilets?
Personally, I prefer to the ladies. I think most women would, or a lot of women would, but I think it's really important to be very clear here. So it's quite typical, isn't it, to have a single cubicles in a restaurant and they're unisex just because of space more than anything else. And the difference is you're not kind of going into an enclosed space and then from that enclosed space into your cubicle, firstly. Secondly, it's really important to kind of remember, you know, this is more really a question of, for instance, if I had a 14-year-old or 13-year-old, 12-year-old niece or sister or daughter, would I let them go into, say, you know, like the toilets in an airport. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So if you go in off a corridor, you go into an enclosed space, and then all inside that enclosed space are lots and lots and lots of cubicles. So I would not let, if that space was mixed sex and there was men and women in there, I wouldn't let, you know, a young person, a young adolescent in there. But if it was all women only, I would. I think it's really important to remember that this is a basic sort of tenet of just safeguarding. It's how we order society. It's not a particularly conservative thing to do. It's the way every tribe, every culture, everyone, everywhere has always safeguarded. We've always separated the sexes when it comes to intimate spaces for very obvious reasons. It's just necessary for dignity, privacy, safety.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick break because other people want to come in on this. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Erica Coates. Erica, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
How are you, Erica? We spoke to you. I think it's well over. It's nearly 2 years at this stage.
A year ago,
and you stopped everyone in their tracks. You were a great contributor to a debate we were having when you contacted us. As you say, you are a farmer, and you identified as a man, the gender you were born. But in recent years, you've decided to identify as a woman. So in one sense, we've been meaning to, well, there's unfortunately no proposal to do a new series of Liveline Callback, which is a great, great pity, but because you would have featured on it, I think. You've had your name change. I'll ask you about the toilet issue in a sec, but how are you getting on, Erica?
Yeah, I'm getting on okay. The COVID thing is causing you to be depressed a bit, all right? You can't get anywhere and anything, so but you have to get on with it. The big priority is keep yourself safe, and the sun will shine someday, and you never feel bad.
And where I think at that stage, were you saying to me that you were hoping to get some procedures done and Medicare? How has that worked out during the lockdown?
Well, I didn't even get, I was referred on to a doctor now and up the country, and I never even got an appointment. I tried ringing and getting nowhere. I got to my own doctor there, a week ago there, and he tried to make an appointment with Lachlan Stone, so he could get any movement of it, but you're getting nowhere.
Okay.
The whole thing is, with COVID, it's shutting down a lot of things. But,
I know.
But the trouble is, Joe, that there isn't enough staff handling these things at all.
Okay. Now, Erica, to go back to when you were going to school, I think your name was John, was it? What was your first name then?
Eric.
Great. Eric, okay. Yeah, brilliant. Okay. What do you think of this proposal to have unisex toilets now in all schools?
Well, I was just listening to it. Well, I wasn't thinking about it earlier, but I was just listening to it, the story there. No, but I kind of mixed views actually about it. That, Depending on the pupils in the school again.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the smaller schools, it might work out fine. But then again, I don't know. Why would some of the previous speakers there, we have a 12-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy going together? I don't know.
Mm.
But even what I was thinking, you know, the view there of having a neutral toilet as well might be a good solution to it. But in the other side of it, like what they're saying, the URL. For the boys, if you're going to put us all to single units, look at the amount of extra ones you'll need. And like you talked about water again, that's another thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to have more and more queues again going to toilets. That's not, as I said, first of all, there is something in it, but as I said, you have the two sides to every story. But like the practical side of it must be, as I said, the first part of it.
The practical side. Okay.
If you're planning a new school or planning a new church, the practical side of it must be the first thing you must think of.
Okay, say with us, Erica. Lisa Bracken, Joe at RT.ie. Go ahead, Lisa. You're listening to the debate.
Hey, Joe. Although I'm very frustrated listening to this, I think it's ridiculous. I think, you know, it's an overprotection thing. People need to calm down and understand that both sexes interact, you know, in the corridor in school, in shopping centres, fast food outlets, wherever they may be. I mean, you can't say, okay, boys to the left and girls to the right. And Leisha, I think the girl's name was, mentioned, you know, if a girl happened to get her period. Sure, I mean, that's completely normal, Joe. We shouldn't be making a fuss at the likes of, you know, someone getting a period in this day and age.
Leisha, can I, because I've listened to your first 5 points, your first 5 points could indicate that you were either for or against it. You're for the proposal for unisex toilets, I see from your call.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. I just think that I think it's very, very dated, old-fashioned mentality to think that we need separate toilets for boys and girls. I mean, how do we manage at home, Joe? I don't have a boys and a girls toilet at home. Do you? Do you know? It's ridiculous.
But what you do have at home a lot of the time, especially, is supervision and guidelines.
You may have supervision, but Joe, I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, if you have visitors staying over in your house, you're not going to say, oh, you're not allowed to use that toilet at a certain time. I mean, what about when kids go to the cinema? You have to have trust in kids. And I think that this is adults' issues being projected on and blamed on children being uncomfortable with this. I don't believe a child, if they start off in primary school using unisex toilets, well, then there's not going to be any issue around it as they grow, and there shouldn't be.
Yeah, but we've had separate toilets in schools since the model schools were set up long before the Irish state was set up in the 1850s by the British. We've always had, and has it done much damage?
Joe, honestly, we had industrial schools too. We've moved on. Do you know what I mean? We need to move with the times. And I do think that, I genuinely believe that this is adults making an issue. I feel that people are looking for stuff to give out about now.
Okay, Leisha, you're making and you're superimposing your adult mores and beliefs onto young children. And you should be more open. I think I'm trying to paraphrase Leisha.
With the greatest of respect, I'd say it's the opposite, that I feel that as a group we are advocating for those young people. I mean, the research speaks for itself. It's the Department of Education's own research that says 1 in 3 adolescent girls is being sexually bullied and harassed, sexually harassed at schools. I don't think it's old-fashioned to say that that's not good and we want to try to avoid as much of that as possible. I mean, girls deserve to go to school free of sexual harassment and bullying.
Don't
I don't
boys,
think this is good
don't
for boys
Leisha,
either.
Hang on a
I don't think I
hang
don't
on,
think a mixed
sorry,
sex
Leisha,
toilet
Leisha, let's,
is
let's
good
just,
for
let's
either
just
sex.
Point out, first of all, Leisha, that girls are not the only victims of sexual harassment. Many boys suffer that in schools too. So I think it's, you know, quite condescending of you to make that a female issue. It's not. And you made a reference to Countess Markovic as well, which I think is almost, you know, it's laudable if not laughable. Countess Markovic, and you're kind of making it that she was a prissy person who would say, oh, keep the girls safe in there. Come on. Do you know what I mean? And with regard to sexual assault, that's not about segregating and isolating people. I have 3 adult children. I had my fears when they were growing up that something might happen to them. But I didn't tell them, oh, don't go anywhere that there are other people. You know, make sure you separate yourself. I educated them. That and they wouldn't attack anybody and harm anybody. And
yes, I fully
otherwise.
Agree. This is about education and changing a shift in attitudes. But those attitudes can't be changed by top-down measures like this. This is
important.
Well,
that's an oxymoron in itself, Leisha. That's an absolute oxymoron.
Well,
if you agree with me, why are you segregating? Why do you feel the need to protect girls? You said particularly, you know, and I think that's really ignorant.
Ignorance. I was just quoting data from the Department of Education's own survey.
So I'm assuming that you're basing your beliefs and what you desire on that research. But you said, you're the one that said that young girls a certain percentage are subject to sexual assault in school or sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment and bullying. One in three. That's from the Department of Education.
One in three. And how many boys are?
I think, well, I presume there's also an issue with boys, but I'm not making this about boys.
But hang on, Lisa, now. In fairness to Lisa, there is a website in the UK that's only up and running about 6 weeks, and it's called Everyone's Invited. And have a glimpse at that. It is shocking. Absolutely shocking, the abuse that young women primarily have given testimonies about in their schools. Absolutely shocking, the amount of sexual harassment that they suffer at the hands of boys. No, obviously not all boys, but and there are some boys on it. I've only glanced over it because it's a big issue in the UK at the minute. This whole issue of sexual harassment of girls, young women, in private and indeed public schools. In the UK. So I think the evidence is there that women suffer. I know it's not an example, but women do suffer, and young women especially, do suffer sexual harassment more than young men.
Do you know, I'd be very aware of that, honestly, I would. But I do feel there's a couple of points there in that. I think that girls would be faster to speak when something happens. I think there's a lot of boys who suffer silently.
Alicia, I'll come back to you in a second. I want to bring Angela in. Joe at rt.ie, 1857-15815. We're talking about this proposal, which, as Alicia points out, when you read the small print, is basically instructions from the Department of Education that from now on, all new bills in schools, there will be no urinals, no separate boys and girls toilets. There will be units which will be comprised only of stalls with a common area in the centre when you emerge from the stalls on either side for washing your hands, etc., and combing your hair, whatever. And there's no indication whether one side of the room, this bathroom, should be cubicles for young women and the other side should be cubicles for young men. But the school will have options, I presume. And the options may be quite limited by structure rather than rules and mores. Angela, your point, please.
Well, Joe, in secondary schools, there are a lot of boyfriends and girlfriends going to school together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd be deluded if you thought they weren't going to arrange meetups in the toilets, both get excused from class at the same time. And I just think they're as well to put up condom dispensers in the toilets if they go at this.
Say again, you're saying that they'd be using, because...
Well, to meet up boyfriends and girlfriends,
okay,
Joe,
so you're saying
would.
That the two of them can go into the bathroom
together,
and no one will take any notice because it's unisex. You're saying they then go in and then go into the same cubicle and whatever. Yeah.
Especially during class time when there's no one on the corridors. Get excused from class at the same time. Make a plan. And I'm not a prude, Joe.
Angela, you're way ahead of me there. I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought this. Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay. Kathleen. Thanks, Angela. Kathleen Flynn, your point, please.
Hi. Yeah. No. I wanted to make a point just about inclusion. If inclusion means that it's the provision is there for everybody. So if you have a male toilet, a female toilet, and a gender neutral toilet, that's not inclusion. That's like saying I have an old people's toilet and young people's toilet and one for people who don't mind. Or, a foreigner's toilet and an Irish person's toilet and one for people who don't mind. It's not inclusion. Immediately in a school, the gender-neutral toilet would be nicknamed the tranny toilet. And that's not going to help any young person who's struggling with their identity.
So you're in favour of the unisex proposal?
Oh, yeah, I'd be in favour. And I'd just like to pick up, Lisa, on the point that bringing up about the sexual harassment of teenage girls in school. If you're to bring her point to the logical conclusion, we should have single-sex schools. Because the harassment isn't happening. Toilets aren't magical places where these things only happen. She's talking about sexual harassment that's happening to teenage girls in the corridors, in the classroom. So, you know, it's not about... I think that there's an underlying agenda going on that's against trans women.
Yes.
Okay, expand.
I really do. I think that this is... that this isn't being said. It's kind of the... No, everybody's tripping around it, but I think in general it's just that the way that inclusion is being framed is makes me uncomfortable.
Well, you need to expand on that, Kathleen. Because
well, I think that.
Are you referring to the Countess didn't fight for this?
Yeah.
Well, where is the where?
Well, I just think that because in the way that Lisa, I can't remember her exact phrase, but she was sort of putting inclusion in inverted commas as if it was a loony liberal idea for, you know, including all genders and none, rather than a problem that she, it wasn't so much a problem between boys in school and girls in school, but that there was a, that it just struck me, and I don't know, it was, this is a gut feeling just from the way that she, her language was.
Well, have you a policy, have the Countess didn't fight for this group, Leisha, have you policies on, say, trans men and trans women in sport?
Our position is that trans rights are human rights, and trans-identified people must have every possible human right and civil right, but not at the cost to the rights of women and children.
Wow.
In every other area of life, we look at the conflict of rights. We look at the common good. This is the only area in life where it seems that we have a quite myopic focus, where we're just looking at the needs, the rights of one person. I mean, the woman who came on first, who spoke very eloquently about their child, they actually, I mean, the problem was already solved quite simply in that school, where there was a toilet for that child to use, which was gender neutral. There is no need to eradicate all single-sex provision for every other child in the school. That, to me, seems very disproportionate.
Can I ask Leisha a question?
Okay, who's this?
Can I ask Leisha a question?
Yes.
Would she have a problem with trans female school students using the ladies' toilets?
Sorry, can you refrain? Like, trans
identified girls? Would you have a problem with trans girls using the girls' toilets in a unisex school?
I think, well, clearly I believe that single-sex provision should be maintained. In fact, in law in Ireland...
But that's not answering my question. It's quite a specific question. Okay.
It's a simple question. Would you have a problem with trans girls using the girls' bathrooms in schools?
I'm talking about an adolescent boy who identifies as female.
Yes.
We're talking about a trans girl.
Which is an adolescent boy who identifies as female.
No, which is a trans girl. You see, here, Joe, is the language. This is the...
This is toilets
being used as a way of promoting an agenda that's against trans girls.
My agenda is to uphold the rights and protections granted under law to women and children in this country.
Yeah, and trans women.
I think
the agenda is pretty obvious by the answer to my question.
Would you?
By the language that you're using, which is non-inclusive.
But you're using the word inclusive to mean that every single child in that school loses their rights under law to single-sex provision.
What right do they lose? What right do they lose? Boys and girls mix. Boys and girls have always mixed. There's nothing special or exciting about a toilet.
I'd rather we just spoke calmly about this. I think it's better because it's a complex area.
I think it's just that I've noticed what your real agenda is. And when you answer my question, I think that becomes very clear.
But we advocate as a group for women and children. What I would like to ask you is, what about the 13-year-old girl who doesn't feel comfortable
using the same toilets as the trans-identified 15-year-old boy. What about that girl?
You see, your language, Alicia. It's a trans girl. Why do you insist on calling them a trans-identified boy? This would be two girls who are both using a girl's bathroom.
So you're telling using me a girl's that a boy bathroom. With a boy's body who identifies as a girl is the same as a girl who was
that
born.
That's such an insult.
Preoccupied by what's underneath somebody's skirt.
Well, it does matter when it comes to intimate spaces.
But it's not intimate. The only place that they'll be together is at the sink. And boys and girls share sinks in common areas, in home economics, in art, in science.
Mm. Yes,
a sink isn't an intimate area.
It's completely different to actually going to the toilet.
Not when the toilet is a cubicle.
I think that woman is from the 1940s or something. What's going on?
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Alicia, please accept my apology. I did not know that was coming. I thought it was an outrageous use of language. Nothing you have said in this programme so far would lead anyone to use those phrases. So please accept my apology. Do you want to reply?
I would like a right to reply.
Lisa's gone. I'm sorry. Lisa is gone. I don't have the power to cut people off, but the producer has. I asked for it to be cut off. But I just want to apologise to you formally for that.
I think, firstly, it's important to say that it's very clear that this whole area is very sensitive and very triggering for people. And I really hope that what we are bringing to this debate as a group is reasoned, calm, measured, data-driven, evidence-based discourse, because that's what we need to do in this country.
Okay.
We need to have an open discussion about it. But with regards to being homophobic, I find that so odd, because one of our biggest concerns with regard to the transitioning of children is that 75% of trans-identified young people go on to be lesbians or gay men in adulthood. So, in fact, transitioning those children is the homophobia. That is driven by homophobia, because those children, if they were just left alone,
can I just... I don't want to go down the homophobia route and labelling people homophobic.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that that's the opposite to what
we're doing. But Leisha, with your permission, Kathleen, asked a very... a very pertinent question. I just want to rephrase the question Kathleen asked, because I don't think you fully answered it, Leisha. And that is, in the Lynn Tracy's case, she was the woman on earlier, she spoke about her son, who she referred to as her daughter, Alice, now, who was transitioning, as it happened, during transition year, but she referred to her as her daughter. Do you accept, and this is Kathleen's point, Alice, as it happened, was in an all-boys school when she was transitioning. If Alice had been in a mixed school and was transitioning, and mixed schools at the moment have separate toilets, as you know, that's the change that's proposed by the Department of Education, that no longer be the way. If Alice was in a mixed school when she was transitioning, would you have been agreeable, if your children were in that school, that Alice, who was born a boy and was transitioning and referred to by her mother as her daughter, among other things, would you be amenable to Alice using the girls' toilets?
Well, firstly, I would say that I have nothing but compassion for these young people who are struggling and with identity. And I know, obviously, there's a lot of comorbidity with other mental health issues. I understand the full picture in the round, but I equally feel it's important to look at this issue in the round. So we must look at the how this impacts on girls whose facilities, after all, would become mixed sex in that specific instance you're giving. And furthermore, I would say this is exactly my point. This is why we need a third space. which is what the first lady so eloquently described. It's a very simple solution. You just have a third space. This is, any school tomorrow could do that.
Does this answer your question, Kathleen?
It does, because it's...
Well, is the answer revealing to you?
Very. To me, it is very revealing. I think that it's trying to generate a sense that a girl should be afraid of a trans girl coming into the bathroom as if they're going to do something, and I don't know what there is to be afraid of. These are just young people. They're just teenagers. What is Alicia so afraid of is going to happen if a trans girl uses the same bathroom as her daughter?
Okay.
Sorry, is that to me? I'm not. I would say it's a rhetorical question.
Okay.
Stay
with us. We're discussing this proposal. We're contacted by a number of people. Who are against the idea, including Leisha, of this proposal that going forward, as Department of Education say, any new builds or retro builds in schools, primary, second level, if the toilets are being changed, which invariably they are with new sanitation development, they say there should be unisex toilets in the school. No more boys' urinals, no more boys' separate toilets, girls' separate toilets. Each toilet block or unit should consist of cubicles with a central area when you emerge from the cubicle where you wash your hands or comb your hair, whatever. It's an instruction from the department. They're the ones that are going to be paying for these schools. Augusta, your point, please. You're a school teacher.
Hi, Joe, and hi, Leisha and Kathleen. I was just, I heard what Leisha was kind of positing and kind of outlining her concerns, and based on very extensive research, I appreciate. I'm subbing at the moment. I'm on sub panels, so I happen to be at home. So I heard the concern about... and a warranted concern for many parents that a 12-year-old first year could be sharing a toilet with sixth year, and it mightn't be generally known that any school that I worked kind of permanently in, and now many schools subbing, and I also happen to work for 4 years in England as well as a teacher in secondary schools. In London as well, that you would never have juniors sharing toilets with seniors for starters.
Okay.
So you would always generally your first year toilets would you would have first year toilets, second, third year toilets, TY toilets, and fifth and sixth year, or else TY to sixth year. But you would never ever. Seniors would never share toilets with first years, and first years would kind of have their own toilets as a way to be, and they would be in big schools, but say if the school was smaller, there would still be junior toilets.
And the issue of unisex toilets, Augusta.
I have seen this kind of coming down the track, and I saw some of the schools in. I've never taught in a school which personally had them, but it intrigued me, and I thought it was great. And, as I've been hearing the discussion, the fact that, it's an open door onto the corridor, there's a central kind of, I've seen them and I've kind of used them myself as an adult in schools, say going for an interview or whatever in some of the very brand new schools in England. But I didn't get to teach with them. But it answers that whole question of for transgender young people. It does away with one fell swoop the kind of the limits that schools have with providing an extra space for toilets, which is generally that school was able to provide. The TY students a unisex toilet for herself for her when she transitioned, But, I mean, that would have more than likely been a pokey kind of room down an old corridor. You know, I kind of know, I can see it in my own head. So, whereas this, you know, these toilets are big, they're bright. As a teacher, you can, on corridor duty during break times, it's clear, you can see in, you know, because like teachers, we can't walk into, you know, there are kind of care concerns. You know, we have to manage our own movement around space and into children's kind of toilet spaces and stuff. And a female teacher can definitely not go into a boy's toilet or a male into a girl's toilet. So, you know, those kind of practices and principles mightn't be generally known.
Am I unfair if I ask you to come down on one side of this argument or another? Do you agree with the Department of Education proposal?
Yeah,
that should be unisex from now on.
Yeah. But like, okay. I suppose it's always the way with the department, like it always sounds, you know, should be. And like, it sounds like it has to be done from one year to the next. But I mean, there's always a kind of period of figuring it out, because no school can turn around in, you know, and put in a requisition for buildings and budget to turn all their toilets over, you know. So it's obviously brand new schools. So any school, so it's future proofing. So any new school,
or anyone that's getting their toilet facilities upgraded.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a condition for budgets and building requisitions and those
probably
kind of.
The provision of stalls is much more expensive for boys than urinals. But anyway, so it will have financial implications, space implications, use of water implications, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what the department are saying, and they have the purse strings. Ashley Kerr, thanks, Augusta. Augusta's in Limerick. Ashley Kerr, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Hello, Joe. First of all, I do want to say, look, I fully support transgender on every level. I have many friends who are transgender and gay and everything. However, from my own experience in growing up in high school, you know, it can be a very up and down stage of your life.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, I went to high school. We were all girls up until sixth form. Then it was mixed after that. And we did have an incident where one of the sixth form boys actually had sexual intercourse with one of the fifth form girls in the toilets.
And vice versa.
It was
consensual.
Yes, it was obviously agreed.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, that's what, I don't mean to be funny, but that's what children do.
Yeah.
Not all of them, you know, some are better. What I'm saying is we all make mistakes when we're children and growing up. And I just think it's just such a risky environment. Me growing up as a girl, being very insecure, there's no way I would have felt comfortable. You know, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Being in a cubicle, changing my you know, sort of monthly cycle. Things when I know there's a boy next door, maybe of my, you know, same age, for him to go out and maybe tell, oh, I heard her doing this and heard her doing that. As a woman, if I come out of the toilet and I, you know, I haven't felt very well, or let's be honest, we're all humans. From time to time, you can get diarrhea, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So there's no way, if I was a 15-year-old girl, would I be happy in an environment with, you know, with boys there and coming out. And that's, you know, it's so risky. I think some parents are a wee bit naive and thinking when children are out of sight, you know, that they're all going to make really good decisions at that age. None of us, you know, we all made mistakes at that age.
And that incident you referred to, that you have knowledge of, obviously, the two students, a boy and a girl having sex in the cubicle, in the unisex area, so to speak. If you found out, therefore the school found out, did they?
Oh, yeah, the school found out. The whole school found out,
and
obviously.
What did the school do?
Well, they excluded both students.
They expelled them?
You know, they expelled them, yeah, absolutely. I think it was either expelled them or suspended them.
Wow.
So, you know, and you know, I'm sure they found out about that instance, but, you know, how many other instances did go on that they didn't find out about?
But let's say not many. If the penalty was for a few minutes of stolen enjoyment and love or whatever, is expulsion. From your second level school?
Second level school. Teenagers get up to all sorts that us parents don't know about. You know, and I know as a teenager myself what I got up to, the mistakes I made, you know. I mean, I just think...
Yeah, but you're normally expelled for violence against another student. You're expelled... I know that there's rules and it's not allowed, but you're expelled for lovemaking in a school.
Well, you know, look, obviously it was... I mean, I'm in my 30s now. This was...
Yeah, I know there's an issue. I know there's an issue if it's underage and all that carry on. But you can be in school, and be over the age for consent. But anyway, I take your point, Ashley. So you're saying no to unisex?
I fully agree with transgender. I think absolutely. You know, maybe the possible solution is a boys' bathroom, transgender bathroom, and a girls' bathroom. Maybe it's not, but I don't agree with mixing. Putting girls at risk.
Okay.
And I just think girls in our society at that age are so vulnerable, already so insecure, you know, it's just unfair to put them in the environment. I know as a woman I wouldn't feel comfortable in it, you know, so.
Okay, thanks Ashley. 51551, watch out.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Rosemary McLaughlin is in Dublin. Rosemary, your point, please.
Yeah, I just heard about this last week and I was just reflecting back on my own time in school and how when you're a teenager, you don't like your body. You're insecure about everything and you're also... you know, getting your periods, you could have accidents, you need to wash out, you know, your clothes. Sometimes if you have blood on your clothes in school, in the middle of a class. And I think if you have to go into a cubicle and you have a stain on your jeans or something, there's no way you're going to take them off and come out and wince out your jeans in front of fellas. And I think, you know, because you're, like, you're mortified in front of fellas at that age. And... there's also, like, is this going to extend to changing rooms? Is this going to be confined to toilets? Is this going to extend to showers and swimming pools? Like, my daughter was in New Park. They had a swimming pool. And she has 3 medals for Leinster for hockey. She also has medals from when she was young, you know, doing community sports. And my son has 2. I also have 2. And the only sport that we didn't like was because we had to go to Marian College. I remember changing there and hating it and hating the whole pubic hair thing and like not knowing, like, you know, some people have boobs, some people don't, some people have their period, some people don't, some people have pubic hair. It's very mortifying. And like, I'm thinking, is this going to go into dressing rooms, showers, or is there going to be showers for separate 18-year-olds? Certainly in our school, we didn't have segregated toilets for classrooms for 13-year-olds to 18-year-olds. I went to Mount Anville and... I think if we're going to start desegregating, should we not start with the schools instead of the bathrooms? Why is this agenda being pushed forward all of a sudden? And why are we picking children to experiment on again instead of picking adult spaces where people aren't going through puberty, where children aren't at risk of 18-year-olds, you know, in the same spaces as 13-year-olds? Why don't we do it in the Doyle first? Would they be happy with no women's bathrooms there? Would they be happy... like having diarrhea and farting in front of other people. Do you know what I mean? It's just the privacy, it's dignity, it's something that we're doing to accommodate a very small amount of people at the risk of how many women are in a mixed school. I mean, my daughter went to New Park. She has a first class honours degree in law. She's very woke. She's very everything. She hated the teenage boys in school, the sexual harassment, the fact that they weren't even, there was no budget given to give them classes on what consent is, neither was the girls. And now they realise now at 23 that they were being sexually harassed in school. And the boys were sexually harassing them and they didn't even know they were doing it because they weren't giving classes on what consent is. And very soon you're going to have one 13-year-old going into a bathroom and four 18-year-olds following her in and telling her they want to show her their willies and stuff. And you know, we have to think down the line about what this really means. I mean, it's all great being woke, and I'm a very left-wing liberal person. Mm. But I'm not afraid to say that if my daughter was in school at 13, I would not want her changing or having her period or getting a sanitary product out of a machine in front of 15-year-olds that are going to be giggling in the corner and laughing in the cheap seats and all that goes with that.
But is that not, you know, one, in fairness, is that not one of the points Lisa Bracken was making before the unfortunate use of language? But that Lisa was saying, like, this should be about educating boys that they don't,
yeah,
that,
but
they
we're
don't
not
giggle.
That, Joe.
That they don't
the
giggle.
Sexual assault is going up. That you were talking about that UK site, that Instagram site has 15,000 posts in 6 weeks of sexual assaults and harassments on young girls. And the same happened in Australia. There's a girl who started this Instagram site. There's also a girl in Dublin that's doing the same and has a big page and saying, how many times were you date raped? How many times were you touched, groped? Mm. Were you felt, was a phone put under the cubicle? Were you photographed when you were adjusting your underwear? You know, all of this stuff that's happening, it's just, they have mobile phones in school now. You're going to have an awful lot of people taking pictures in bathrooms and laughing at them and laughing at girls with stains on their clothing and changing their underwear and getting a pad from the machine. I mean, it's just, like, these are teenagers we're talking about. Why are we doing it on teenagers? Why aren't we starting with somebody else? Why are we doing it on teenagers again?
Okay.
It's an experiment, isn't it?
Okay.
Why not start with adults?
Okay, back after this break. Thanks indeed, Rosemary McLaughlin.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we're talking about this proposal. Well, it's more than a proposal. It's now guidelines, and it's guidelines with a capital G because the Department of Education have money with a capital M. And they're saying from now on, toilet facilities in newly built schools and any schools that are being retrofitted should be unisex. That's the best way of putting it. Barbara Eager. Barbara, your point, please.
Hiya, Joe. How are you? I know you don't have much time left. I'd just like to say, the teacher, I think it was Augusta, was it?
Yeah.
She was talking about the toilets and she said, you know, the teachers need to supervise. And she also said, male teachers can't go into girls' toilets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... So why are they putting boys and girls together?
They're okay, it's a rhetorical question.
Well, it is.
I presume they will also say that If the toilets are unisex, that requires one teacher to supervise the toilet area rather than two, one for the boys and one for the girls. Do you follow me?
But look, in my school they had people that came in to do supervising, you know, that way. So, I mean, it's not, they do that all the time anyway. It's not going to be a big deal to continue doing it. And have you seen the toilets? Open fan into the corridor. Toilets down the middle, sinks down the middle, and toilets to the side.
Okay.
Well, I mean, privacy for anybody.
Okay.
Now, boys or girls.
Okay, Barbara, thanks indeed, Barbara Eager. Grania, you've seen the toilets because gender-neutral toilets were introduced in your child's primary school last year. How did that go down, so to speak?
Yeah, they came home and just said this one day that there was no boys and girls toilets anymore. They were very upset over it. The first few weeks were terrible. Still are. The kids all come home from school and they don't want to go to toilet in school anymore.
The
boys walking in, blood on the seats with the little girls getting their periods. The boys are piddling all over the seats and the floors and the toilets are now disgusting.
So what are the children doing?
They're holding it till they come home.
Oh, you can't physically do that. It's bad for your body as well.
Yeah. And I have three daughters and they all feel the same. Now, two of them have moved on to secondary school and they would absolutely die if they had to share a toilet with the boys.
Mm-hmm. And part of it is boys leave the loos filthy.
Yes.
Am I?
And the teachers, they took up so much of their teaching time in the beginning, was spent trying to clean the toilets and supervise who was in last. and then they get one child to be the janitor in charge who'd have to clean up after everybody else, and the teachers, everybody has just given up now, and the toilets are a mess. And the kids, if you ask them, they're afraid the boys would walk in on them when they're in the toilets between the locks and the doors.
So what's school done? Have they changed their policy? Changed their
geography? If they have a new school and there's a boys and girls toilet in each classroom. So when they went back, the signs were took down and they're just neutral toilets for anyone to use.
So
and no discussion with parents or anything.
So
I feel we've been pushed into all of this without an open discussion. So glad it came on the radio today.
Okay, you want consultation. And especially if it's already in operation. Some schools, it wouldn't take too much research and difficulty to get to do a study on a school that already has it and check with the pupils, check with the staff, check with the board of management and check with the parents. Susan, Susan, briefly. Thanks, Susan. Your daughter's special needs attends mainstream secondary school. Mixed toilets, yes or no?
I think no, Joe, because I just think that, you know, we have our daughter, like she's in third year now, and she's getting her period since she was in first year. And she has her little bag with her spare pants and her pads and everything.
Okay.
And we've explained to her what to do and what not to do. And I just think, first of all, I wouldn't feel safe. I wouldn't send her into a toilet anywhere with adults. I mean, let's face it, these boys are up to 18 years of age. And I know a previous caller said that, you know, you wouldn't have first years in with 6 years. But Kira and I was going into fourth year. But she's actually only the equivalent of a first year and probably will be the equivalent of a first year.
Say horse space, you would rather, for private space, there was other young women there.
Absolutely.
Okay, Susan, thanks indeed. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Lisa Marie Berry produced. Ray Darcy is next. Thanks.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.